song right here, if you will, before I read this morning.
Bless you, Lord.
I read this scripture. Once my soul was astray from the heavenly way, I was wretched and vile as could be. But my Savior in love gave me peace from above. When He reached down His hand for me, when the Savior reached down for me, when He reached down His hand for me, I was lost and undone, without God or His Son. When He reached down His hand for me, listen right here, I was nearing despair.
Yeah.
When He came to me there, and He showed me that I could be free. Then He lifted my feet, gave me glory complete. When He reached down His hand for me, when the Savior reached down for me, when He reached way down for me, I was lost and undone, without God or His Son. When He reached down His hand for me, how my heart does rejoice when I hear His sweet voice. In a tempest to Him I can cling. I can lean on His arm, safe and sure from all harm. When He reached down His hand for me. Can you say it this morning? When the Savior reached down for me, He had to reach way down for me. I was lost and undone, without God or His Son. When He reached down His hand for me. Acts chapter 3 this morning. Bible says, now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, look on us. And he gave heed unto them, exceeding to receive something of them. Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of the United Baptist.
No.
In the name of the Free Will Baptist.
No.
In the name of the good old regular Baptist.
No.
In the name of the Pentecostal Church.
No.
In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth.
Amen.
Rise up and walk.
Amen.
And he took him by the right hand, and what he do? Lifted him up. And immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength.
Amen.
And he leaping up stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. Boy, God do something for you, you'll walk and leap, won't you?
Amen.
And all the people saw him walking and praising God. You won't be ashamed to go out here and get baptized, let other people see you walking with God. And they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. You can be seated this morning. Well, I tell you what, as I was driving down the road here to church this morning, sometimes you get a couple different three places on your heart and your mind on what you're to be preaching this morning. I had no idea. I was driving there. My throat was hurting so bad. It's hurt all week. I don't know what the issue is with that, but I'm feeling pretty good right now. Lord, touch me. I'll preach to you and try to help you here with something this morning. But I had in my heart, my mind, this place, and I had in my heart, my mind, another place, Brother Randall. I sat through the service, and I'm sitting here praying and looking at the crowd and thinking, Lord, what do you want me to preach? And I got Shelby up here to sing, and she started preaching out of what happened in the book of Acts. And God said, right there is where I want you to preach at this morning. God knows what you need to hear this morning. God knows what everybody here listening that may be listening on the internet needs to have in their life. And the Bible says in Acts chapter 3, now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer. They went up at the ninth hour, which is about 3 o'clock. And in the book of Acts, listen, Acts chapter 1, Brother Glenn, Jesus has went on into heaven, and he left them boys down here below. And he said, hey, you all go up now to the upper room, and I want you to sit for a little while until the Holy Ghost come upon you. Now, they didn't know, Woody, what was going to happen or what was going to transgress, Brother David. They just went up there and sit, and they cast lots and had the first church business meeting up there, and it went all right. Nobody got mad and flew out of the church. Amen. That's a great miracle right there, ain't it? But they went in there in Acts chapter 1, and they chose lots, and they chose an old boy to replace Matthias, who was there in the church. And they were sitting there. Well, the Bible says in Acts chapter 2, Shelby sung about it, that as they sat there, why a mighty rushing wind come in. It was the Spirit of God. It came on them, brother. And the Bible said they began to speak with cloven tongues as in fire. And listen to me now. Don't get excited. But the Bible said there was 18 different countries there. 18 different nationalities were there. And the Bible said every man, Brother Randall, heard the wonderful words of God in their own language. They wasn't speaking a bunch of mumbo jumbo. Don't get nervous. They wasn't doing that. No, they was speaking the language that they could understand. Boy, I'm glad when God come down one day and spoke in a language that I can. I'm not talking about a foolishness. I'm talking about spoke to my heart. And they got up and spoke. And all them people, brother, from 18 different nations and 18 different places all over the world, I heard about the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Boy, they got saved that day in Acts chapter 2. And the church is exploding. And he added them unto the church daily as he seemed fit. He added unto them. I can't add unto the church, and you can't add unto the church. It takes the Lord Almighty to add unto the church. Now the Bible said in Acts in chapter 3, now is what it starts out with, the word now. And then it said now Peter and John went up together to the temple to pray. Boy, I tell you what, we're losing out on, Brother Glenn. We don't pray like we ought to pray. Well, that's where the secret is. If we get on our knees, Brother Rob, and get right with God, and confess some stuff, and get in agreement with God, and pray to God, He'll help us. But the Bible said they went up to the temple about the ninth hour, at the hour of prayer, to pray. Now, Peter was a loud mouth, a big mouth preacher, and it was strong and would go forth. And John was a little bit more meek and humbler. Boy, I like that. You had two different personalities. One real strong and loud and the other real quiet and humble. John was about 16 years old and Peter was an old rough fisherman. But brother, the Bible said that they went up together to pray. Boy, if we want to see something happen in the church, if we want to see something happen in our community, if we could just come on together and gather around the cause of Jesus Christ, we'd see a lot happening. We get so caught up in my church and in my preacher and in my building and in my way. Hey, it ain't my way. It ain't my church. It ain't your church. It's Jesus' church. He died for it. And the Bible said that we are His bride. I'm talking about the church of the living God. And they went up together to the temple. Boy, I didn't think I was going to be able to preach this morning. And I'm feeling pretty good, Jeff, about right now. Hey, listen to me. Went up to the temple about the ninth hour unto pray. Ronnie, you know what happened about the ninth hour? About 40 some days before that, it was at the ninth hour, Brother Randall, at 3 o'clock, when that veil in that temple was rent from the top down to the bottom. Hey, listen, four team of oxen had to drag that thing up. That's how heavy and strong it was. But when Jesus died at the ninth hour, at 3 o'clock in the day, that old temple was rent from the top down to the bottom. It wasn't rent from the bottom up. It was rent from the top down. Why is that? Because the Lord came down unto us, and that veil was rent, allowing everybody that wanted access in, could get access in unto Jesus Christ. I don't care what you've done. I don't care where you've been. I don't care how messed up that your life is. You can come on in unto the holies of holies. And God loves you. He'll touch you. He'll help you. He'll clean you up. And it happened about the ninth hour. Oh, would he listen to me? Here's old Peter and John, and they're going up, Brother Jamie, and they walk up, Sean, in the temple. Now you got to keep this in mind. There are thousands of people that are at this place, at this eastern gate, is where this is at. At a gate they call Beautiful. You know how we name stuff, but that ain't really the name of it. The name of the gate was a beautiful place or a beautiful gate. That's what they had named it. And this old man laid there day after day. He laid at the gate. He wasn't inside and he wasn't all the way out. Are you listening? He was at the gate and somebody carried him there every day and laid him at the gate. And he would sit there, Corey, and say, alms, alms, alms. You ever been somewhere and see a beggar? They won't hardly look at you, will they? They'll just go, alms, or money, money. Money, money, and shake their cup, and listen, and go from one to the next. Oh, listen, all these thousands of people are going into this place. Here this man is. He's laid there daily, and day after day, and they pass by him, but they can't help him. They pass by him, and he said, I want money, alms and alms, but it don't help his condition. He's at an ugly place, isn't he? He's at an ugly place in his life, but he's laying at a beautiful gate. Some of you here today, you're at an ugly place in your life. You're in an ugly situation in your life. And you're in a beautiful place to get some help. Oh, but listen to me. This man wasn't all the way in. And he wasn't all the way out. He would just lay Brother Ricky at the gate. Honey, you got to get inside the gate to get any help. You can't lay outside and you can't lay at the gate. You got to get on the inside. And nobody can carry on in unless the Lord touches your life. Amen.
Somebody carried him there, Woody, every day, and they'd lay him down, and they'd walk off. I wonder who's carried you here this morning. I wonder whose prayers in your life. Somebody's prayed for you. Somebody's loved you. Somebody's witnessed to you, and it's carried you somewhere here today. And you're not in where you need to be, but you're not all the way out, and you're just laying here, and you're in a good place. But maybe you're here, and you're asking for something that you don't need. Maybe you're asking for something that's not going to help. I've had people come and say, if I come to church enough, it'll help my home. Jesus will help you home. But just coming and not committing ain't going to help you home. They say, if I come down and start doing this and start doing that, it'll help my situation. It's a good place to start, but nothing you can do. It's going to take Jesus to help you. Whatever ugly situation that you have in your life. You see, Brother David Blackburn, every day somebody would take this fellow and they would carry him jail and lay him down. Boy, I'm glad that somebody's carried you here today. Somebody's prayer, they may be dead and gone, but that prayer's carried you, Brother Goble, all this way. And some of you here, listen to me, you need to get on inside the gate, because you're going to lay there in that place, yet so close, but not inside. But what a sad state to be in, to be so close, but not inside, where you need to be. And you can't get no help until you get on inside of the gate. But you say, preacher, he couldn't walk. I know that. He couldn't worship. I know that. He couldn't work. I know that. And neither can you until you get inside the gate and get some help. You say, but preacher, why didn't they just carry him on inside the gate? Because they couldn't. The furthest place, Woody, that they could carry him was right outside the gate. They couldn't go inside. I can't bring you in. Your mommy can't bring you in. Your daddy can't bring you in. The baptismal hole don't bring you in. It takes Jesus' saving grace to bring you in inside the gate and help you down in your life. Watch this. Bible says he laid there daily and he'd ask for alms. Watch this now. The problem wasn't in his leg bones. Problem wasn't in his knees. The problem wasn't in his back. He probably had a good back. The problem was in his ankle bones. What the Bible said. Ankle bones is pretty little, ain't they? Ain't they? You know what keeps people outside the gate the most? It ain't the big things. It's the little things. You know what's keeping some of you in your seat right now from serving God? It's a little thing in your life. It's that little thing you can't get over. It's that little thing that you hang on to. And you won't get any help. You'll not get inside the gate. There's nothing wrong with his man's head. He had a good head. There's nothing wrong with his arms. He had strong arms. There was nothing wrong with his leg bones. He had good strong leg bones. But the problem with this man was he had a problem in his ankle bones, which is a very little problem. But it was keeping him from getting where he needed to get. And some of you here today, you've got a little issue that you've carried in your life and hung on to. And it's keeping you outside the gate, and you're asking for something that ain't going to help you with your problem. You've got to get that little issue cleaned up and took care of in your life.
Amen.
Huh?
Amen.
Some of them hold on to a little tradition.
Oh yeah.
That's killed us. Killed us. Let's just not baptize this little girl right here since she got saved. Because that's our little tradition. Well, what we've done around here for 50 years has worked real good, ain't it? Huh? How about we let God save them when they're young and put them in the water? Teach them right, Brother Woody. Reckon we try that for a little bit? Reckon that'd be all right? What we've done around here for 50 years ain't worked too good, has it? How about we preach these kids? Or how about we keep them in church right here and preach them? Let's not put them off in a room and let them play games, Brother David. Let's teach them something. Let's let them be around old time preaching. Let's let Cameron back there hear the truth. And Kean and Braden and these other children. Let's let little Jackson sit here and hear the truth and see the preaching. Let's try that for a little while and see what that does.
Amen.
Amen.
That's good.
The little problems.
Amen.
The little family problems. Oh no. I can't do that. I got a problem with him. I can't do that. I got a problem with her. You're just outside the gate. Am I preaching okay this morning? I've got this in my heart, preacher, and I just really can't commit myself to the Lord. Alms ain't going to help this guy. Getting his little problem took care of is going to get him inside the gate. And Peter and John, what did Peter say? Peter said, listen, silver and gold have I none. Hey, listen, what I've got, it ain't going to help you if I did have silver and gold. But such as I have, I give I unto thee. He said, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And some of you here today, you need to come to an old-fashioned altar and let God take care of them little problems, them little issues, them little hang-ups that you got in your life that's keeping you outside the gate and keeping you crippled and keeping you from serving God and keeping you from being all that you can be for God.
Amen.
Amen. It's the little things. Some of you here, you're saved by the grace of God. You're saved, but little things. Ricky is hindering them. Little sin. Little things. Some of you bitter as hell yourself right now. You're bitter.
Amen.
You got a little bitterness there. I'm telling you, it's keeping you outside the gate.
Amen.
I'm telling you. Preacher, who you preaching to? I'm preaching the book right here this morning. It's keeping you outside the gate. Little things. I've known Christians, listen, they could be such a powerhouse. I've known preachers that could have been used for God so much. But if something little in their life has held them back and is keeping them from being. I've known people that could really serve God and really be a blessing to others. We've got some in this church. They could really be a blessing. They could really do something. But they let little things, Tim, hinder them. They let little stuff keep them out of the house of God. They let little things keep them from being committed and doing what they need to do for the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me tell you how little it's going to be. Let me ask you this question. If you knew you was going to die within the next 5 minutes, how big an issue would that little thing be? Think about that for a minute. Somebody being hateful for you at Walmart yesterday, is that really going to be on your mind and heart? Knowing you're about ready to step out into eternity?
No.
Some old crooked church person that's keeping you back, or some family issue keeping you back, is that going to be the forefront of your mind, honey, when you get ready to step out in eternity? Think about this for a minute.
Amen.
Is it going to be there? Something that you harbor up in your heart and hang on to? Is that really what you're going to be laying there thinking about when you're getting ready to step out into eternity? No, sir. It's not going to be nowhere around. Then why is it that we hold on to those little things and it keeps us outside the gate, laying right there, and keeps us from going in and being what God wants us to be? Because everybody, including this preacher, has got something that could hinder us, keep us from doing what we need to do.
Yes, sir.
Amen?
Amen?
Why do you think, look at the text, why do you think Peter said to this man, Nathan, look on us? Is it because Peter wanted some attention? Was he not getting enough attention? No, that had nothing to do with it. He was doing like this, Woody, that man was laying there and he was going, alms, alms. He's looking at everybody. Alms, alms, alms. Peter listened fast and looked at him and said, this man needs some help. And Peter locked his eyes on him. Boy, I'm glad that one day the Holy Ghost of God locked in, honey, on me. Locked in and said, I'm going to help you with that little thing that's keeping you out of the house of God. And listen, Peter locked his eyes on him and said, hey, son, look up here at me. Look right here at me. Is it because Peter wanted the attention? No, sir. It's because the devil is real good at getting you on everything else than fastening in on what you need to get you inside of the gate.
Amen.
Do you know that? I preached one night in a church. Listen to this. This is true. And it happened not too long ago. I preached one night in a church down in Inez. I can tell you where I preached. I preached on the 9. Y'all have heard me preach that before about the beautiful Jesus went in there and touched the beer and the boy raised up in the city of Nain. I preached and 2 people got saved. One come down this way and the people was happy. But this other fella come down and they got real happy. And I thought, well, he must be a real good draw card or something. You know? And they was real happy. I didn't know. I mean, he's a sure enough son, tattooed up, everything.
Hallelujah.
You can tell he's rough. Here he come. He ain't like a lot of fake Baptists. It just ain't. Anyway, here he comes down. And he gets a hold of me. I said, what do you want? He said, I want to be saved. But he's crying. So I talk to him there, pray with him. But everybody's happy. You know, when we should be happy, somebody gets saved.
Amen.
This preacher comes up to me and says, but you know who he is? I said, no, I don't know nobody down here. Thank God I don't. He said, he's the one that dug up my granny's grave and stole my granny's jewels. He's on the news. Buddy, I don't know if I could sit there and preach to a man that dug up my granny now.
That's
true. That preacher's been here to preach for not too long ago. He's been here.
Yeah.
He said, he's wanting to dug up my granny and stole her jewels. Thank God he got saved and went out there and baptized him in the creek.
Amen.
Some of you, bless God, somebody look at you sideways in the parking lot, you get bitter.
Amen.
Some of you, they won't comment on your Facebook post fast enough, and you get bitter, and you get them little things. But here's a man I'm sitting there thinking, and I scratched my head all the way home. I said, he dug his granny up. He seen him get saved and help him baptize. Only God can do something like that. Amen. The little things. He said, fasten your eyes on me. Look at me. Quit looking at everything else and look at me. He said, what's your need and I can't help you with? Listen to me. We've been here 5 years and at different times we've had folks come. They want money and they want it for drugs. I know what they want it for. I ain't dumb. And we don't give it to them. I said, one time a guy came here on a Wednesday night and I said, sit for church. He said, I can't. I said, well, I can't give you no money. He didn't want to set for church. He ain't getting no money.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
You say, preacher, that's mean. No, it ain't mean. No, it ain't mean. I got people in here go through hard times that's faithful. I need to try to help them out.
Before I
enable somebody to take drugs. Amen.
Amen.
Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I to thee. In the name of Jesus of Nazareth. And the Bible said, Randall, he reached down his hand. He said, rise up and walk. That old boy was laying there. Hey, listen to me. No doubt he laid there every day. And when he heard that, he got a hold of Peter's hands. And the Bible said that little thing in his life, them ankle bones come together. He stood up and leaped and ran into the eastern gate and ran into the temple and caused a show. And they all looked at him and wondered and said, is that him that was laid at the gate? Bible says they was marveled about it.
Oh yeah.
Think about this. How many of you in your life have people got so used to looking at you like this? Because that's what you've been known of in your life. They see you coming, and your name is associated with whatever. Let's just be honest. Your name is associated with whatever. But isn't it something, Brother Jeff, that when Jesus gets involved, they look at him a lot differently than they used to look at him before?
Thank you. Praise God.
Amen.
Amen.
They look at him, Randall, a lot differently than they looked at him the day before and the day after. And Peter looked at him, Tim Bowen, and said, why are you doing this? Why are you looking in such marvelment? Why are you looking in such wonder? And the Bible said in the book of Acts, chapter 3, you know what the rest of that verse says? Rest of that chapter is, Peter raises up and preaches Jesus Christ and repent of your sin, all because one man got a little thing took care of in his life. And in chapter 4, verse 4, 5,000 people got saved, all because one little thing got took care of in a man's life. You say, well, it wouldn't listen to me. How many people could be affected over one little sixth grade girl getting saved? Let me just ask you this question, just common sense. The Bible says serve the Lord in your youth, don't it? Solomon, who's the smartest man that ever lived outside the Lord, wrote that. That's what the Bible said. I didn't say it. Solomon said, serve the Lord in the days of thy youth. How much better would it be? She grows up a Christian. She marries a Christian man. Brings those kids to church. They grow up hearing the Word of God. They get saved. She dies off. Those children are going to church. Those children are saved. You see what I'm talking about? Rather than waiting until she's 70 years old and trying to grunt something in on a hospital bed and not knowing if she's right or not. Which is better? Which is better? Martha Jo, you've been a Christian a long time. Which is better? Which is a better witness, Brother Ricky? I believe that little girl gets saved young.
Amen.
The little boy gets saved young. That lives for God. That don't ever get into sin. That don't never get into drugs. Amen. That don't never get into things. Hey, it's great to see somebody with a horrid background. I'm going to tell you what's greater than that.
Yeah,
it's somebody getting saved when they're young.
Amen.
And they never have to experience the scars of divorce. They never have to experience the scars of drug abuse. They never have to experience the scars of being alone. They never have to experience that. Why? Brother, listen, Cameron. Because Jesus has been in their life and is guiding them and helping them and leading them. And they don't have to experience all of that. He saved them from that. He saved one out of it, but He saves them from that. My mom and dad didn't grow up in Christian homes. They got saved. I grew up in a Christian home.
Yeah.
How much better my life have been because of that? Now my children have grown up in a Christian home. Now we've all got our own choices and decisions to make. But which is better? I mean, you got sense. You know that. You know which one's better.
Yeah.
For a little thing. I'm going to tell you, when I was a little boy, we'd go to church, and there was a lady who got saved. She wasn't very faithful to church. I'm thinking of her name right now. I'm not going to say it. She wasn't very faithful to church. Her husband hit and miss. I'm talking about, this is true. Had two sons. Never brought them to nothing. Never involved in nothing. Never nothing. One of them is into bad stuff right now. I'm not talking about drinking. I'm talking about bad stuff, like voodoo and bad stuff. Another, and he just floating out here somewhere. How much better is it to keep them in church? Well, it's quiet now, but I'm trying to help some. I'm trying to tell you the truth, folks. We got to get them little things in our life fixed up.
Yeah.
This guy got his ankle bones fixed up, and he got in there, and he was such a blessing and a witness that 5,000 people got preached to and got help because one man got a little thing took care of in his life. Listen, get it took care of today, folks. Get it seen about, took care of, fixed up today. Let's all stand here this morning. Please be quiet. Nobody look around. Hey, bow your heads right now, if you will. And please, nobody look around. This altar's open. Come and do business here. If you